So, hey, my name is Matthew Ackman. I serve as the student pastor at Crossroads Church and the Bible College director at Crossroads Leadership College. And, man, I'm excited. Are y'all excited? Yeah. Tonight's going to be a great night. Like, it really is. So, tonight we have a first. Something is happening tonight that has never happened in my life. So, I had a message prepared for you guys. And in worship, I just felt like we were not supposed to go that route. So we're going to go some route completely different, all right? So here's what I'm going to need, though. So that means there's going to be no slides on the screen. There's going to be no scriptures on the screen, so I need y'all to take notes, all right? Man, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you don't take notes, here's what you're saying. You're saying that I don't want the information in the room to leave the room. So if you really want the Lord to transform and change your life, man, I really believe that, man, note takers are note takers are history makers. So, man, take notes. It's going to be great. Man, where's my seniors at? Bro, we got a couple seniors. Let's go. Are y'all like done already? Like senioritis to the max? Just yeah. Tapped? Yeah. When's y'all graduation date? May 17th and 8th. Bro, you're like under a month. Bro. So my senior year, so I was like determined I was going to get a 4.0 my entire senior year. And then, so I started off, I got a 4.0 for the entire first semester. I made principals list. I took pictures with the principals. And then when I was on Christmas break, I realized I can get D's the rest of the year and still pass. Senioritis kicked in for me and like, in like January, like I'm not even joking. But man, there were some subjects for me that were easy and there were some for me that were like hard, bro. Like I love math. Where's my math people at? Woo! Math is amazing. It makes sense. 2 + 2 is always 4. English is from Satan. I am convinced. I don't mind science, but English. So listen to this. I had a teacher one time in one of my English classes, and I was struggling to figure out where to put the comma. So I was like, I don't know where to put this comma. Like, I don't get it. It should be a period, but you want a comma. So I go to my teacher and I'm like, man, could you please help me like figure out where to put the comma? She's like, yes, Matt. It's so easy. I'm so glad you asked me. She's like, just put it where it feels right. It's like, well, thanks for nothing. Like, it doesn't feel right. That's what I'm here. I'm going back to math. I quit English. Then in the eighth grade, I was in the eighth grade, and we had to do book reports when I was in middle school. Bro, so public speaking is like the worst thing ever. I absolutely hate speaking. I do. Whenever I was in Bible college, my plan was to become a missionary and move to Africa. And the Lord was like, no, I want you to grab a mic. I was like, God, you're tripping. Nope. So I'm in eighth grade. My teacher wants me to do this book report where at the end of the book, you have to get up in front of the class and you have to give a presentation. So I'll never forget, English just happened to be first period. And I procrastinated. I put it off. I didn't want to do it. And so I show up to school. I'll be honest, I didn't even really read the book, but I had made up my mind before I went to school. I was like, I am not getting up in front of my students, in front of my peers. I am not about to give this book report. I'm not doing it. So I had determined I wasn't going to do it. Well, I show up first period, and my teachers always went in alphabetical order of last name. My last name is Ackman, A-C. I'm always first. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, all right. I'm not doing it. I'm telling myself over and over. I'm trying to like amp myself up, like how to like tell the teacher no. And she's like, Matthew Ackman. I was like, yes, ma'am. So I walk up, I get up to the front of the classroom. And as soon as I get to the front, I get like, my stomach like starts like bubble guts. I mean like bad. My stomach starts like flipping. So I get up and as I'm walking up to the front, I have this massive cramp. And I'm like, man, I think I could just let out a little fart to like relieve a little pressure and I'm going to be good. I'll be all right. I can get through this. So I'm walking up and I'm trying to figure out, man, how can I let it out without no one noticing? And so I'm like trying to take like these big like steps to like create some space. And I go to let out this little fart and y'all, I pooped myself. Walking up to class, and this happened. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm I'm literally walking up and I'm like, oh no. So now this, I am in eighth grade. I'm standing in front of the class and I have actually pooped myself. And we're not talking like a little wet fart. Sorry, we pooped, bro. Like, I'm gonna be honest, it happened. So I'm standing there and I don't even remember my book report. I don't even know what I said. I'm sure it sounded like another language. So I finished my book report and now I've got a decision to make. Do I go sit back down in my seat or do I just bounce, bro? Like, what am I supposed to do? So I'm like, no. I'm talking about the second I walk from the front of the class, I mean, the first step, I realized what was happening. Oh, no. I got to go sit back in my desk, bro. So I walk up and so I'm like, okay, man, do you just go for the door and run? Like, how do you explain what happened? I was like, I got to sit down. Like, I have to sit down. I'm going to get in trouble if I just walk out of the class. So I try to do this like Matrix maneuver. Where I like sit down and don't really sit. And bro, I'll never forget. The guy behind me he was my best friend. He leans up from behind me and he says, bro, it stinks, bro. I think somebody farted. I hate English. English was the worst. English was the worst. I think when I look back on my life and the trauma that I've been through, I really believe that that was like the beginning of my stage fright. Like that's probably why I hate speaking in front of people. Because when I like did it for the first time, I literally pooed myself. Like, that's the worst. Man, so, you know, as I think back over my life, maybe, I don't know what journey of life you come from. I don't know what, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school looks like for you. But man, I didn't grow up in church. For me, man, my life was insane. So my parents met in the military. My dad was from Louisiana. My mom was from California. And they both had abusive parents. So they both ran out of their house at the age of 18, met in the military, got in a very unhealthy relationship, got married, and then my dad ended up being extremely abusive. And so I was born, and then my mom quickly found out right after that my dad was abusive. She stayed with him. He ended up getting kicked out of the army, and then she stayed with him while she was in the military. Well, they ended up getting hooked on methamphetamines. And so I'm 2 years old. My parents are both meth addicts. And so, man, that was just life. That was what the style of house that I grew up in. Well, when I was 4 years old, my mom and my dad had a really bad altercation one night. And he abused her pretty bad. And so my mom decided she was going back to California. So she moves back to California, and the agreement that they made was that I was going to go back and forth every 6 months. So I would go 6 months with my mom in California. Then I would go 6 months with my dad. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. 6 months with my mom in California, then 6 months with my dad in Louisiana. So my whole life, I'd go back and forth, back and forth. Well, when I was about 4 years old, 5 years old, my mom remarried, and she remarried a guy who was running from the feds. And so every time we would go back to my mom's house, she would be in a different state because we were running from the cops. Now, I didn't know what was going on. You know, I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I had no clue why we were like always moving from state to state. My stepdad was so paranoid. We like weren't allowed to touch the blinds in the house. If you like bumped the curtains in the house, you got in serious trouble. And so we were living in Utah. I was in the fourth grade. My stepdad, they raided our house and my stepdad got caught. And so they extradited him back to Oregon where his original charges were. So we followed him to Oregon while he was in prison. And man, for the most of middle school, for the majority of middle school, my life looked like I would go to school, I would come home, my mom would get drunk, and then she would stay on the phone with her husband who was in prison, and they would fight and argue all night until she passed out on the floor. She would wake up, go to work, and then it was the same thing every night. So needless to say, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about church. Honestly, like, I seriously thought Jesus was like another story like the Easter Bunny. Like, I really thought that like Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, Jesus was all the same thing. It was just fairy tales we told each other to make each other feel good. Well, when I would go back down to my dad's house every 6 months, my dad was just, man, he was, for lack of a better word, he was just a lunatic, man. He was nuts. And he was really abusive. And so when I was 13 years old, I went back to my mom's and I told her, I was like, hey, I'm never going back. I'm never going back down to my dad's house. I never want to see him. And so she made me call him and tell him why. So I call my dad. I tell him, you know, all of the things that I never want to see you again. I can't stand you, blah, 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 blah. Well, right after that, I spiraled. So 14 years old, I start following in my mom's footpath, in her foot tracks, start following her path. At the age of 15, I did methamphetamines with my mom. At the age of 14, I started taking acid, smoking weed, and eating mushrooms. And at 15 years old, I was convicted of 13 Class A felonies. The judge told me whenever I stood before him that if I was an adult, I would have been sentenced to 84 years in prison. And so instead of giving me 84 years of prison because I was only 15 years old, he told me that if I did 2 years in juvie, they would let me get out. So I go to jail for 2 years. Well, while I'm in jail, all of my friends still hung out and partied at my house. And one of my best friends was having a party at my house. And it was my friend's 13th birthday party. And she, for her birthday party, they made her take 6 shots of alcohol back to back. Well, my mom comes home from work. She's got, you know, kids in her house all drunk, partying. And she tells them, she's like, hey, like, y'all have like taken it up too much. Like y'all have taken it up another level. She said, y'all can either go home or you can go upstairs and go to bed. And so that little girl, she went upstairs and went to bed. And the next morning when everyone woke up, she had passed away from alcohol poisoning. And so one of my good friends died of alcohol poisoning at 13 in my house. And my mom went to prison for manslaughter in the first degree. They said that because she didn't call the cops for minors drinking in her house, that it was her fault that Tamara had died. And then my brother went to jail for 1 year and my best friend went to jail for 5 years. And then his mom, who bought the alcohol, went to jail for 2 years. So now I'm in jail. I'm in jail. My mom's now in jail. So I finished my jail sentence. Well, they told me at the age of 16, hey, we're letting you out, but you've got to go back down to your dad's in Louisiana. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go back to my dad's, but I had no choice. So I moved back down to my dad's, and I'll just say this, my 20s were a disaster. My 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, all the way through like 26, 27 was me following in my parents' footsteps. I was selling drugs, selling dope. I had a friend who got sentenced to 20 years in prison for making counterfeit money. And it was just a lifestyle that I lived. Well, I end up getting a girl pregnant. And whenever she gives birth to him, she tells me, she's like, hey, if you ever want to see your kid again, she's like, you'll change your life. I'm like, bro, I don't know how to change my life. Like, I've been trying to change my life my whole life. Like, I don't know anything other than the lifestyle that I live. And she's like, well, why don't you come to Crossroads Church? I was like, yeah, right. What am I going to do? Like, what is church going to do? And so I had never been to church at all in my life. You know, I told her no. I was like, no, there's no reason for me to go to church. That's not going to do anything. That's not going to change anything about me. And so this goes on for about 6 weeks, and she will not let me see my son. So I'm like, 6 weeks. He's 6 weeks old, and I haven't seen him. And so she's like, look, if you come to church, I'll let you see your kids. I was like, all right, I'm tired of not seeing my kid. So I show up to Crossroads Church, and first time I ever stepped foot in a building. And the only way I can describe what happened, it was as if Crossroads is a fairly large church. There's like an auditorium with like 1,500 people. And the message that the pastor was preaching was as if he was preaching to me. I mean, out of everybody in there. So it was so spot on and so specific. Like, I thought my kid's mom had told him all of the details of my life. So I'm sitting there salty. I'm like, how dare you tell him my issues? I mean, I had no idea, no concept of the Holy Spirit. And so, so I gave my heart and life to Christ that day. Well, the next week I show back up. And now, mind you, I've never been in church. I don't know anything about church. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And I'm in worship, and I'll never forget. I have my hands lifted, and I'm just crying out to God. And I'm like, God, if you're real, I'll live for you the rest of my life, but you've got to show yourself as real. And while I was in worship, I'll never forget it. The only way I can describe it, it was as if someone had taken like a vat of oil and poured it down me. And I literally felt the presence of God so strongly. And in that moment, I start praying in tongues. Now, mind you, I have never heard of tongues in my life. So I am standing next to my kid's mom who's telling me if I don't change my life, I'm never seeing my kid. And now I'm in worship and I am saying this unknown language and I don't know what is coming out of my mouth. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to think I'm on crack. So I'm like turning my back towards her. I'm like, she cannot hear what's coming out of my mouth. So obviously, you know, fast forward, I understand what happened in that moment, but I had no clue. So after service that day, man, I decided, I was like, man, I gotta turn my life around. Like, I gotta do something, because it's just the way that I'm living is not working. So at this time, I had warrants in 4 different states. So I decided that I was gonna go turn myself in, and I was gonna go face all of the charges. So in the state of Oregon, I had a charge that I had already pled guilty, and I'd already been sentenced to 8 years in prison. And so I had decided at this point in my life that I was going to face all of my charges and just walk through whatever it was that I needed to walk through. And when I think back on that season of my life, when I think back everything that I went through, all of the struggles that I had, you know, it wasn't that I had bad parents, right? Yes, I had the craziest parents. And man, God's redeemed them, and it's cool to see where they're at now. But when I think back on those years of my life, I wasn't necessarily just the result of the circumstances that I grew up in. The problem was, is I wasn't connected to God. I grew up disconnected from God. And so what I want to do this evening is I want to preach a message. If you're taking notes, and I challenge you guys to do so, the title to my message this evening is called Check Your Connection. Check Your Connection. Look at your neighbor and say, check your connection. So a great illustration of this, when I think about the idea of being connected to God, is social media, right? Social media has changed the way we connect with people. We follow people on Instagram, and dude, you can follow someone, you can know like what their favorite outfit is, you can know what their favorite food is, you can know their favorite place to shop, you can know their favorite food, you can know their, you know, the name of their dog, you can know the name of their cousins, you can know all this about a person and feel like you're really connected to someone. Especially with celebrity feeds, right? Like, how many, where's my Swifty fans at? Like, be honest, I like Taylor Swift. You probably follow Taylor Swift. You like know what she wore yesterday, like follow everything that she does on social media. But if Taylor Swift walked in here, now let's be honest, you fangirl, you probably grab your, look at my girl selfie with Taylor. But if Taylor walked in here and sat down right there and you're fangirling at her, let's be honest, you would know everything about her. But she wouldn't know you. And I can imagine her sitting here in this room and everyone knowing who she is. And she's thinking, man, I don't know who they are. When I think of those 4 words, I don't know who they are. I don't know if those 4 words go with it. It sounds good. When I think about those 4 words, I don't know you, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21. The 4 words Jesus says, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 22 reads, many will say on that day, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your names, didn't we drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, depart from me, for I never knew you. But wait, Jesus, yo, I went to youth life, bro, like, I showed up every single Wednesday. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Jesus, hold up. Like, bro, I played on the worship team at Youth Life. Like, my parents, they're like connected and plugged into the, man, my dad's the pastor. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Those words should scare us to our core in a healthy way. I think what culture has twisted in the season that we live in is, the enemy is trying to remove the fear of God from the church. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've got to come to a place in holy reverence and holy fear and bring it back into the church. Because here's what the fear of the Lord is not. The fear of the Lord is not that I am scared of God. The fear of the Lord is I am scared of being separated from God. That I don't want to do anything that's going to cause me to be separated from God. But the problem is the enemy has convinced us that we know God, but yet we only know of God. You see, there is a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. man, we grew up in southern Louisiana, the Bible Belt. People can talk the talk. They can walk the walk. They can recite scriptures. They know scriptures. They show up to church every Sunday. It's what they do. But my fear is that there is a generation of people who are walking around knowing of God, but not knowing God. Let me remind you of what Jesus says in Matthew 7:23. He says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Do you know of God, or do you know God? If you know God, you would know that, man, since the beginning, God has been all about connection. God is all about connection. Everything that he does is about us connecting, is about his life connecting with each other. I mean, look at the way he created nature, right? When he created the grounds, when he created the dirt, when he created earth, if I would go outside right now and I would take a flower and I would remove it from the dirt, what would happen to that flower? If I would pull it from the dirt, what would happen to the flower after I held it for a few days? It would die. Why? Because God created it to be connected to its life source. If I went fishing and I fished out a fish and I pulled it out of the water, what would happen to that fish after a few days? It would die. Probably because that one would get cooked and eaten. But aside from that, without us cooking and eating it, if I just held a fish for a few days, it would die. Why? Because it's disconnected from its life source. You were made in the image of God. You were created in his image and in his likeness. And when God created man, he reached into the dirt and he took out the air from his lungs and breathed into it. Why? Because God wanted you connected to him. God is your life source. Look at your neighbor and say, stay connected. We have to come to a place where we need to know that we cannot survive without him. We cannot overcome without him. We cannot win without him. We have to be connected. I want to give you three quick ways to remain connected to God. Three quick ways to remain connected to God. The first one is this: with his word. With his word. John 1:1 and 1:14 reads, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." You see, Jesus is the word. When you spend time in your Bible, when you spend time in scripture, you are spending time with Jesus. The word is your life source. And when you spend time having a devotion to God, man, I promise, as you have consistency, man, it is going to change everything about your life. Because without a devotional life, you will always have an emotional life. Without a devotional life, you will always have an emotional life. The second point that you can stay connected to God is with your worship. With your worship. Psalms 22:3 reads, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of your people." You don't have to just worship on Wednesday nights. Man, you could put on worship music. You don't even need music. You can praise God in your own room. God, I love you. God, you are incredible. God, you are holy. Scripture tells us as we glorify him, as we praise his name, he inhabits that space. The third way that you can stay connected to God is with your words. And I'm just talking about prayer. How do you get to know someone? Man, you talk to them. You want to stay connected to God, stay connected with his word, with your worship, and with your words. John 14 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it says, "If you abide in me, I will abide in you." What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about staying connected. Could you do me a favor? Could you jump on keys? And we'll just do keys. I think so often we're so consumed with what we see that we lose sight of what God's doing. Whenever I went and turned myself in and I start walking through everything that I had already done, I had warrants in Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Oregon. I had warrants in four states. And it was expected, between taking care of all of my warrants and then going do my 8 years in prison, that I would be in jail for about 10 years. But, man, I had this real encounter. I had this encounter with Jesus, and I felt like what I was supposed to do was own up to all these mistakes I had made and just trust that God was going to make things right. So I turned myself in. They extradite me to Oregon, and I'm just broken, guys. I'm in jail. My son at this point is 1 year old, and, you know, the attorneys are telling me, you know, you'll probably finish your jail sentence in 8 years, and then you'll have 5 years of parole, and then you'll need to go to every single state and take care of your warrants. So before you probably get everything taken care of, it could take you anywhere from 10 to 14 years, with about 10 years total of being behind bars. So I'm destroyed, and man, I used to cry out to God all the time, God, if you're real, God, if you're real, if you just show yourself to me, God, just show me that you're with me, man, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll live for you the rest of my life. And so they gave me a court date. My court date was 3 months. My court date was 3 months away from the time that I had turned myself in. And they told me at this court date, here's what's going to happen. You're going to show up. You're going to tell them what prison program you want to sign up for. And then you're going to go do your 8 years in prison. So I'm in jail. I'm waiting for my 3 months before I go spend 8 years in prison. And I'll never forget. I'm in jail. I'm in my cell one day, and the door opens up. The guard walks in, and he's got a guy with him, a new inmate. He walks him in, and he says, hey, here's your new inmate. The guy sits down. We start chatting, start talking, and he tells me that he's in jail for giving away free clothes to the homeless, and he's a pastor's son. So he was doing this outreach for homeless, and he sets up this table, and he's giving out all these clothes, and so many homeless people came to the table that they said it was disturbing the peace. So they arrest him, they throw him in jail. Well, normally for something like that, it's a misdemeanor, not a big deal. It's a little ticket, you pay it and you bail out. They lose this man's paperwork. So he could not even bail out of jail. This dude was in jail for the entire time with me. He was in jail with me for all 3 months. And when I tell you, Cambro, he knew the Bible like nobody I've ever met. And so he spent 3 months discipling me. He spent 3 months teaching me how to read the word, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to fast, teaching me how to connect to God. And so as I'm spending this time in jail, God's starting to become real to me. I'm starting to have these cool God moments. Well, it's the night before I'm going to prison. I'm broken and I'm in the shower. And I just lost it, guys. I just had a mental breakdown. I fell down on my knees and I just cried out and I screamed, God, if you're real, I'll live for you the rest of my life. But you've got to prove yourself to me. Get me out of here. And I'm broken. I'm missing my son. The next morning, I wake up. The attorney pulls me out. And he says, hey, all that's going to happen today is you're going to pick your program out. And then we're going to load you on a bus. They bring me out the jailhouse. They bring me across the street into the courtroom. I never forget. I'm shackled up at my waist. They got my ankle shackled. I've got chains all the way to my waist. I've got my hands handcuffed. And I walk into the courtroom. And I sit down. Well, the judge walks in. When the judge walks in, you know, me and the DA, we both stand up. He sits down. He looks at us. He's like, you guys can take your seat. Well, normally in a normal court proceedings like this, what happens at this time is the DA stands up and they continue on with the court proceedings. Well, we sit down. When the DA goes to stand up, he looks over and he looks at her and he says, hold on 1 second, ma'am. He looks at me and he says, son, I've never done this my entire life, but I've got a feeling about you. He said, we're going to let you out of jail today. We're going to drop every single charge that we have against you, and you're going to turn your life around. There was a manila envelope sitting on the judge chambers. It was about that thick. He grabbed it and threw it in the trash can on the side of the judge chambers. The DA was furious. She gets up. She storms out of the courtroom. And needless to say, they let me out of jail that day. And so, man, you fast forward a month from there, I was already on a mission trip. I was initially supposed to be on parole where I had to stay in Oregon for 5 years. And 9 months into probation, my parole officer brings me in the office and he says, dude, you're not the same person you used to be. You've changed your life, bro. We're letting you go. Go home. Go be with your family. 1 year 1 year after I was supposed to do about 14 years, I was able to leave Oregon and come back down here to Louisiana to be with my kid. I was picked up when my son was 1.5. I returned when he was 3. And I've been in his life ever since. Needless to say, since then, man, I got connected and started serving at Crossroads Church. Dude, I started serving as the janitor. I didn't even care. I didn't want to get paid. I just wanted to be at the place that I had encountered Jesus. And man, one door after another opened. I went from being the janitor to being a paid janitor to being the maintenance worker. And then I did that for about a year. And then the door opened for me to serve in our youth ministry. I did an internship with our youth ministry. I ended up starting a middle school ministry that went from 20 students to 250 students in 9 months. And I just watched God's hand over my life. I didn't know how to speak in front of people. I had to overcome stage fright. But man, I just stayed connected where God had me. And I watched God open door after door after door. And you fast forward, I was a middle school pastor for 4 years. Then I got put over middle school and high school for 2. And then you fast forward the last 2.5 years now, I've been over all of our young adults, all of our high school, all of our middle school, and now over Crossroads Leadership College. I've never filled out an application. I've never put in a resume. I simply got saved and got connected and chased after Jesus with everything I had. And I have watched Jesus change and transform everything about my life. The same God I serve is the same God you serve. I'm going to ask you that question again. Do you know of God, or do you know God? Can we have every head bowed, every eye closed? Man, if you're here tonight and say, man, something's got to change. I need to get more connected with God. I just want you to lift your hand on 3. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. This is between you and God. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand if you say, that's me, man. I need to get more connected with God. I see your hands. I see your hand. Let's go. Here's what I want to do, guys. Man, we don't have a ton of time left, but I just want to create a space for you and God. I want to lead you guys in a prayer, and I want everybody in here to repeat these words in support of it. And don't just let these words come from your mouth, man. Let them come from your heart. Say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me, and I'll live for you the rest of my life. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor, everyone, stand to your feet, unless you're already having a moment. Let's just spread out across the room. And I just want you to have just some quiet time with the Lord. I want to pray over you. And I'm going to hand Pastor Jacob the mic. God, we love you. Lord, we ask for you to meet us here. God, we ask for you to, man, let us be honest with ourselves. Let us be honest with our connection with you. Are we fooling ourselves coming to church thinking we're connected to God? Or are we really connected to the Father? God, we abide in you. We trust in you. We love you, God. And it's in Jesus' name.